His eye is on the sparrow. Everybody's helping out tonight. See if I can get this thing on properly. I don't really need it. Fred told me that. I got to keep an eye on Fred. You know, we had a vacancy. Pastor said, I'm going to be away on Wednesday night. And we talked about bringing in a guest speaker. And Fred said, well, we have to pay a guest speaker. He goes, well, Dan, you're good for nothing, right? So you have to put up with me here tonight. Welcome to all of you. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's good to be here in your house tonight, Lord. Thank you that this is a church that prays, Lord. Lord, we lift one another up in prayer, Lord, and pray for the requests that are before us. And Lord, we see answers to prayer. We see praises, and we thank you that you hear us, Lord. Bless our time together as we open your word, Lord. May we be encouraged tonight by what is presented here. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll start out with a question. Does the news get you down? So I'm preaching to myself here tonight, so you know that as well. Yeah, does the news get you down when you listen to it? Are you tired of hearing that the gay lifestyle of sin is to be celebrated? That abortion is family planning, and that a man can be a woman? Do I need to go on, right? How about the news? Don't watch the news. Well, what does the Bible say? Let's take a look at first verse here, John 14:6, Gospel of John, John 14:6, and I'll turn there. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When you think about all these things that I just mentioned that get you upset, the truth is somewhere it's negotiable today. It doesn't mean your truth can be different from my truth. But guess what God's word says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's word is truth. God's word is a standard. God sets the standard, not man. God's the creator, and he's the only one that has a right to set the standard. So that's one thing I wanted to explain. What do we do when it seems like everything is hopeless? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. There's no way forward. Where do we turn? Well, I want to look tonight at an old scripture. It's a story. We've all heard about Gideon and the great victory that Gideon won with just 300 men. We heard about Hezekiah and the victory that he won when Jerusalem was under siege. Well, there's another story that I'd like us to turn to and look at tonight and see what happens when everything is against us. I mean, today, if you're a conservative, you say, the courts aren't on our side anymore. Does our vote count? And where's the media? They're complicit with everything. So we look and we say, is it hopeless? Well, here's a king that thought everything might be hopeless, but let's see what happened. Turn with me, if you want to tonight, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to look at a true story here about the king of Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. And I'm going to just start reading here in verse 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be Hazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Wow, Jehoshaphat got the news that there's a whole horde coming against you, and they're from everywhere, all over the place. And so what was the first thing he did? And I give him credit. He proclaimed a fast. Proclaimed a fast in the whole land, that everyone was to fast and pray. Let's look on here. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And I was reading... you always get the blessing when you got to study for a lesson. So I got out Matthew Henry's commentary, and he said that Jehoshaphat wanted to stand there, and the kings were able to stand and pray and in the temple, but they were not allowed to do offerings of incense. They were allowed to pray and fast and lead the people. And anyhow, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He gathered the people together. And let's look here at verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. What he said was there was an outer court of the temple. They called it the court of the women. And that was where the kings were allowed to minister. Like I said, not able to do sacrifices or offer incense, but they were allowed to preach and to pray. And let's look down here at verse 6. And this is what he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and help. As I was reading this, I thought about his cry here for help. And it was pointed out that when the temple was dedicated, Solomon prayed to dedicate the temple. And God answered back. And he said, I'll find where I have it written down here. Basically, it said, God will hear and answer prayers that are offered in this temple. He said, because it's so special, it's his house, that it's found in 2 Chronicles 7:15, actually, right after the one of our favorite ones. 7:14 is the one, if my people, which are called by my name. But it's 2 Chronicles 7:15, God says, Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. So Jehoshaphat was there, and he was praying in front of God and in front of the people and asking for help against this enemy that has come behind him, come to them. All right, we're down here to verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how do they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit? O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Do we feel a little bit like that sometimes? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of where I feel. There's nowhere else to turn but God. Jehoshaphat felt the same way. He said, that's a great verse. I just want to read that again. O our God, God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Let's look at verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Again, I was checking in with Matthew Henry, and I didn't realize this. When Jonah went to Nineveh, at the end of Jonah, in the very last book of very last verse in the book of Jonah, I'm going to find it here. It's Jonah 4:6. It says that God spared the city because I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit here. Let me see. I'll find it. Here we go. Jonah 4:11. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? That number is pertaining to the children that were there. They didn't know they're so small, they didn't know their right hand to the left. And what they're saying is when Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and the children stood there, that they're bringing their children and their wives there, and God does consider them. He considered that those children of Nineveh, and that was one of the reasons that he spared Nineveh. I didn't know that before, so I learned something new. You always learn something new when you study. So what a blessing. They stood there. I can just picture them standing there before God, you know, pouring out their hearts to him. And God is a God of mercy. He hears those prayers. Let's go down here. And when sometimes it doesn't take long to answer. Let's read verse 14. Then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, where the wilderness of Jewel. Ye will not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Wow, you talk about a quick answer to prayer. That prayer was on its way down as they were speaking it in front of the temple. Jehoshaphat, by faith, was praying that, and the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this former Levite, Jehaziel, and he told him, what good verses to hear. Stand fast, be still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, for the Lord will be with you. We've got to remember that. With God, God plus one is a majority. What are they going to tell the King of the universe, the King of kings, the Creator that created everything? They're going to come and say, "Up, oh, term limits are up, you're up, we're going to vote you out." Nope, there's nobody higher than him, sorry. He's the top one. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. So we need to keep focused on that. And Jehaziel reminded Jehoshaphat and the children there of Judah that was what was going to happen. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They were thankful. They heard that word. It encouraged them. And they were blessed. They knew that hope was on the way. They knew that this wasn't a helpless situation. They just heard an answer from the Lord and from one of his prophets. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And let's look here further. And verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Wow, what faith. They were thanking the Lord and praising the Lord, and the battle wasn't even over yet. They trusted the Lord. They trusted his voice. They trusted the answer that they received from that prophet. And they had faith. And I think God loves to hear the praises of his people. And he heard those praises from those people. And verse 22, and they began to sing and praise. And the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. Basically, ultimate chaos broke out. A couple of these guys got mad at some of them. You know, I don't want to say it. It's like you ever see in an old Western film, they called the barroom brawl or whatever. One guy gets mad at another guy and everybody starts fighting. It's like, oh my goodness. And nobody knows what they said or what they did. But at the end of the day, let's find out what happened. Okay. Verse 24. And when Judah came toward to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked out into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen on the earth, and none escaped. They killed each other. They were all dead. There wasn't anybody left. It was a bad one. And God was in charge of it. He made them so mad at each other, they just wiped everybody out. And that was the answer to prayer to the children of Judah. And so let's see what else happened. And then Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them. They found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. It actually means valley of blessing. And so not only did God answer their prayer, killed all their people, but he blessed them with a huge bounty, you might say, from the evil side. Just like when we were talking about when the Israelites left Egypt, they said, get out of here. And they asked them for anything. They gave them all the bounty of Egypt and were glad to do it. And so here God saw that they were blessed. The spoil took them 3 days to carry it off. Verse 27, then they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in front of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Wow. What a story. A true story. What a victory. So when things get down, and when I get down, when things look hopeless, I need to think about this. And another thing I wanted to mention here. So what is a takeaway that we can get from this story? I put down a couple things here. First of all, if you're like me, sometimes you can get obsessed with one thing. I used to have the news right here, you know, Fox News and Rush and all them. It was right in front of me, thinking about it all the time. You know what I had to do? Take that and move that off to the side and put the Lord right here. Put the Lord in front of you. Focus on him. He's the one. He's the one that'll never leave you down. He stood faithful and true with Jehoshaphat and the land of Judah here. And here's a verse in the Bible that tells us what to do. And it's in Philippians. Tell you what, I write my notes down and I can't find them when I need them. So you better study it so you know it. Philippians chapter 4. It's my favorite book. I'll turn here. And let's see, 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Wow, you know what that cuts out? That cuts out all the news. you know, some of the talk radio that isn't worthwhile. It says, think on the good things. So what can we do when we think on the good things? I wrote down a couple things here just as takeaways from this. And see what you think. Number one, don't focus on the news. Move that off center. I think we have good reason to do that because it says focus on whatever's good, whatever's virtuous. Number two, a takeaway. When we walk with God, we're on the winning side. Just like Jehoshaphat, we have to remember that when God plus one is a majority, he's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Like I say, creator of the universe. No one can ever take that away from him. Number three, what does the Bible tell us to do? And I think this is one that I'm trying to do here. Move forward with faith, not fear. No fear. Move forward with faith. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to worry. I never found that verse in the Bible. In fact, there's plenty to tell you to do otherwise. Let's see here. I have Philippians 4, 6. I should have stayed right there. Okay, I'm going to turn to it quickly here. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think that word careful is don't worry about anything, basically, if we could paraphrase that. Don't be anxious about. I think some of the translations might have said anxious. And so don't worry about that. There's another verse talking about faith and fear, 1 Corinthians 16:13. See if I can find that quickly here. 1 Corinthians 16:13, a real good verse for today. It's popped up and I wrote it down. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Watch, stand fast, have faith. Don't have fear. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Okay, so we're down here. Here's one that works for me. So I got three. Faith and not fear. Don't focus on the news. And God plus one's a majority. Now, number four, count your blessings. Did you ever try and do that in your prayer time? Start thanking the Lord for your blessings. You know, in America, we are all truly blessed. You think about it. The Bible says if we have food and clothing and shelter, we're blessed. We're rich. And truly, us as Americans, we are blessed. Beyond that, we have, most of us have a vehicle to take us somewhere. We have plenty of clothes. We're not worried about where our next meal comes from. There's a pantry with food in. There might be a freezer or refrigerator. We're just blessed. How about the fresh water that we can have just to drink? How about on a cold night, a good hot shower, hot water? I'm just so thankful for some of those small things. You know, when you don't have them, or if the power goes out, that'll sure help you count your blessings next time. So when you start counting your blessings, you just think of all that God has done for you, and it just changes your perspective. So that's one that I do. And the fifth one is rest in the Lord and know that our eternal life, our home in heaven, cannot be taken away. That it's secure with God. Our eternal destiny is secure. No one can take that away. Our home and our place is being prepared there. They can kill this body, but they cannot take away our eternal life. So be encouraged. Let me close with one saying that Matthew Henry said here that I really liked. And I just thought it had some real good punch to it. The justice of God is the refuge of those that are wronged. I'll say it again so you can see it. The justice of God is the refuge of those that are wronged. And we know that God's justice is perfect. When he deals out the justice, there's no lying out of it. There's no going to a court and having the court stacked against you. There's no news media that's ignoring anything. God sees through it all. So be encouraged. God's in control. He's not caught unawares of anything. So thank you for your attention. I'm sorry I went a little long tonight. Nate, I'm going to let you come and do prayer requests. Thank you.